I want to talk to you today about dropping it. We had this read to us by Bill. Jesus is about to start his mission. He's about to start 3.5 years of ministry leading up to his death. He knows what's coming. He needs to gather people around him. And so he's walking along the seashore and sees a couple of guys fishing. And he says to them, "Come with me. I'll make a new kind of fisherman out of you. I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass." This is the message. They didn't ask questions. They dropped their nets and followed. Fishing was their regular work. Fishing was their regular work. Whatever your regular work is, for those of you that are not familiar with the TV program, that's Margaret. Those people are serving in a shop. I have to be honest with you, this is probably my wife's most favourite program on TV. Drives me up the wall, but she loves it, so that's okay. So I've sat through three series of it. But, you know, the point is that whatever your work is, it's your work. And sometimes we look with a benefit of hindsight at Peter and Andrew and James and John, which are the four people that we hear about in this passage. We look at them as if they were always the disciples of Jesus. But at the time in which they encountered Jesus, they were busy with their nets. I don't know what you think it's like to be a fisherman. I'm not really into it, but my brother has been a fisherman all his life, not in terms of his working daylight, his day working, but his hobby. He's always been fishing. And sometimes he would be out fishing more than he would be at work because he was so passionate. But, you know, he had rods. And his rods would be very expensive. And even the bait would be expensive for some fish. But when he went out, he would look after his rods. And in between fishing trips, he would really look after them. And for Peter, particularly here, his nets are his livelihood. His nets are his livelihood. For Jesus to call, "Come to me," and for Peter to drop his nets, Peter is letting go of everything. He is a fisherman. Now, come on, let's be honest about it. If you're in a room with different people and you're talking amongst yourselves and you say, "Oh, hi, I'm Steve, I'm from York," what's the first thing people say to you? "What do you do for a living?" Everyone wants to know what you do, don't they? Why? Because we place a great deal of emphasis of our identity on what we do. Peter was a fisherman. But when Jesus says to him, "Come and follow me," Peter drops his nets. How powerful is that? This week I've been reading through the life of Abraham. And the Bible tells us that God spoke to Abraham and said, "Abraham, leave your father's home and your father's country and come to a place I will show you." The Bible does not tell us of any prior relationship between God and Abraham. This was just a voice that spoke to Abraham out of the blue. And Abraham hears this word, "Come follow me." What did Abraham do? It says, so he got up and left. Later in his life, when God has given him the promised son that he talked about so much, whilst Abraham has lived a considerable number of years introducing himself to people as, hi, I'm the father of many nations, which is what Abraham means. And everybody knew that. It wasn't a hidden thing. Like if I say to you, hi, I'm Stephen, if I say to you, hi, I'm Crown, you go, what? No one knows that Stephen means crown. But because of the language, they all knew that Abraham meant father of many nations. And they would have just around and turned to Abraham and said, oh, Abraham, so where's your sons then? And Abraham would go, it's lovely weather, isn't it? Have you seen the price of Red Leicester? I know petrol's falling, but oh, cheese, it's going through the roof. You know, the fact is that Abraham, when God said to him, Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, and offer him up as a burnt offering. Do you know what it says about Abraham? It says, Abraham got up early the next day and set off. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't have been that keen. Seriously, would you have been that keen? Of course, it tells us in Hebrews about the great men of faith, and it says, Abraham, not knowing where he was going, set off. Abraham, believing in the power of the resurrection, took his son. These things have become bywords for Christians. These are the punchlines about the great men of faith. But would you have done them? If Jesus had have come up to you and you're in the middle of fishing, would you have dropped your nets? Would you? You see, for them, they were giving up their work. They were giving up something of their identity. We know because of historical writings that there was some reference to Peter as being the fisherman in the early church. And he was still regarded as such. When Jesus died, Peter said to the rest of the guys, you can do what you like, but I'm going fishing. And he goes back to his nets. How much are you prepared to give up when God calls you? Now, I am not necessarily talking about a call into full-time ministry. I'm not necessarily talking about that. I'm talking about God calling you to get involved in something, to do something, to be something for Him. Do you know what? I read a book when I was about 20 about a man called Harry Greenwood. And Harry Greenwood had a remarkable experience of God. God would just speak to him. And I remember this fantastic story, and I read this particular night, where Harry Greenwood has been living by faith, doing a mission in this town, and hasn't got any money left. And he walks past this restaurant, quite an expensive restaurant, and he's hungry, and he's praying, Lord, could do with some money for some food. And as he's walking past this restaurant, he hears God's voice. And God says to him, go in there, Harry, and have a meal on me. Now, you see, this is the amazing thing about people who choose to obey God. He went in there. And because the meal was on God, he picked the most expensive things on the menu. Which, of course, was fine for the starter. It was fine for the main course. It was even fine for the pudding. But when it came round to coffee, Harry's starting to get a bit twitchy. He looks around the restaurant, seeing nobody that he knows, thinking, I can't see a way out of this. I might be about to do a week's worth of washing up. So he gets up and goes to the counter to pay, having got his bill. And just as someone else in front of him is paying, and just at that very instant, another guy comes up to the guy working on the till and says, it's time for your break, I'll cover. And so he turns to Harry Greenwood and he says, Harry Greenwood does this. He goes, there isn't a wallet in his jacket, but he puts his hand in as if there was. And the guy says to him, just a minute. He said, you're Harry Greenwood, aren't you? And so he said, yes. He said, I remember hearing you preach some time ago. He said, look, will you have this meal on me? And so Harry Greenwood goes again in his non-wallet pocket and he says, oh, no, 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 no. And this guy says, I insist. And so Harry Greenwood legged it out the building. I remember reading that because that night was the night I first had an experience like that. I got down on my knees and I said, God, I so want to hear you talk to me like this. I so want to know that you're speaking to me. And there on my knees, God said to me, go hand in your notice. Now you have to understand something. After wrangling, wrestling with God, I had previously, only a year ago, left university to take up a job that I didn't really feel was for me, but I honestly felt that God was compelling me to take this job on. And I took it on, and I had learned over that year to love it. I was really enjoying it. And so, I got up off my knees, feeling very grumpy. Very grumpy with God. That isn't what I meant, God. And so for 3 days, I had a grump on. I went to work feeling miserable. I came home feeling miserable. And when I prayed, I was miserable. And when I read my Bible, I was miserable. And on the third night, I got down on my bedroom floor and I said, God, I cannot live like this. I need to know that I am doing what you're saying. So I'm going to get up now and I'm going to go to my boss's house and I'm going to hand my notice in. And as I got up off the floor, I heard that same voice speak to me. It said this, that's all right. I don't want you to do that, but I needed to know that when I called you to do it, you would do it. And I stayed in that job for a further 13 years. And I did other jobs after that job. But the day that God spoke to me and said to me, like Abraham, leave your father's house and your father's country, that day I did it like a shot. And in between time, God has spoken to me directly and clearly, audibly at times, on a number of occasions. And I have tried to do what God has told me to do. Sometimes God speaks simply through his book. Sometimes God speaks through the preacher. Sometimes God speaks in amazing ways. But I have tried to do what God has said. But the question is what would I do today? What would I do now? And what would you do now? If God spoke to you now and said, come, follow me, what would you do? You know, when I started out with this church, we had no income for a year as a family. For a year, we had no income. All I had was a photocopy of a cheque on the wall of my office. That cheque was for £100. And the day I had handed my notice in, someone had written this cheque and mailed it to me. I got it a few days later. I hadn't had anything to do with this couple for a few years, and they had no idea what I was doing. But they wrote me this cheque, and on the back of it they wrote, "This is to help you in your ministry, in your new ministry." They knew nothing, but God knew. And I photocopied that cheque and then took it to the bank, and we had £100 to live on for a year. And I stuck that on the wall, and with it I stuck a text that I had also been given that same week. That text was 1 Corinthians 9, verse 14. "In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should earn their living by the gospel." And I had, on the basis of hearing God and reading that scripture, I had handed my notice in at work. And when I got that check, I put this Bible verse on the same sheet of paper, printed it out, and I in fact, this week, I have thrown that away because it was too faded, and I might print it out again, I don't know, but I've still got the file. But literally this week, I have thrown that away. And that year, we lived on that text. And to this day, we are living on that text. Because God called me to do something. God doesn't have to call you to be a preacher, a teacher, a pastor. But God has a calling for you. And the sooner you realize it, the better. Are you prepared to let go of your nets? Maybe they're your safety nets. Maybe you are letting go of what you know for something you don't know. Remember, God called Abraham to a place, but he didn't tell him where it was called. He didn't give Abraham a compass and say, "Abraham, I want you to go 227 degrees. I want you to travel for 140 miles. He didn't give him any of that. He said, "Go to a place or I will show you." You are so exposed when you obey a word from God like that, because you have to carry on going until God shows you. What sort of a calling is that? What employer would do that to you? "Turn up for work and I'll give you some work when you turn up." What? You know, what's that about? But that is exactly what God said to Abraham. And it's exactly what Abraham did. He set off. I mean, what do you think he did? Do you think he stuck his finger in the air and said, "Oh, we'll go this way"? What did he do? But he walked with God. He was prepared to give up his regular work. For some of us, our regular work might simply be our regular seats in the church. It might be some commitments we have. And, you know, maybe this year God is saying to you, give up that so you can do this. Whatever we do, we should do it as unto the Lord. Ephesians 6:7 says, "Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people." Whatever you do, do it for Jesus. Whatever you do, do it as an act of service to God. Do you know something? It works really well when you do that. When you are prepared to trust the Word of God and go out on a limb and drop it all. It's amazing, the stories you will be able to tell. My second point is, come with me. When you hear the voice of Jesus, everything changes. What about the whole thing with Jesus? Who on earth was he anyway? He's a Nazarene, and we know that nothing good comes from Nazareth. It's like saying he came from Ghoul. He's a ghoulie. Oh, well, we know nothing good comes from Ghoul. As a person who comes from Ghoul, I can say this. Why should I follow him? Why? What is it about this man? And yet, Peter and Andrew respond very positively. And we don't know how long it is later, whether it's hours, minutes. John and James also follow him. And slowly but surely, Jesus is building up a bit of an entourage. They're around him. They're following him. Do you really think Jesus would ask you to do something that is so horrible that you will get nothing from it? Do you really think that? If so, you need to think a bit more about your God, because that isn't God. God's good. You know, change is difficult for all of us. The truth is, even those early adopters, like me, I'm an early adopter. When you do these surveys, I'm an early adopter. I like to be in early. I like to get the new technology. I'm the person, oh, yes, that sounds like a good idea. Let's do it. I am an early adopter. But the truth is, even early adopters don't actually relish the change. And there's a whole range of people leading up to the early adopters that even hate change. The fact is, most of us struggle with the response to Jesus when he says, come with me. Come with me. And yet, today, I think God is speaking to you. And I think Jesus wants to say to you today, come with me. Come with me. How are you going to react? What are you going to do? Are you going to build up a wall of defense and say, I'm sorry, that's not for me? Well, bully for you. That's fantastic if that's not for you. Speaking personally, I cannot refuse Jesus. He is God. How can I, a mere man, refuse Jesus? Of course, I can make the choice I want. I can do whatever I jolly well like. But how can we really look Jesus in the face and say, not today, thank you? He's not a Jehovah's Witness at the door, you know. He's not someone trying to flog you quadruple glazing with solar panels. It's the Son of God talking. It's Jesus speaking to you. Oh, I'm sorry, that could have been... Just, who is this Jesus? You know, in Hebrews 11, it talks about Abraham and it talks about the patriarchs, and it says this: all these men were still living by faith when they received the promise. No, it doesn't say that. All these men were still living by faith when they inherited great chunks of land from God. No, it doesn't say that. It says all these men were still living by faith when they died. And I want to turn around and say, well, thank you, God, for that then. That's a good deal, isn't it? I walk by faith and then I kick the bucket. What sort of life is that? Actually, it's the most exciting and exhilarating life. It's the most fulfilling life. And it's a life that gets you mentioned by God. A life that means so much. This morning I played that song, Well Done, Good and Faithful Servant. And there's only once that Andre ever recorded that. And it's a live recording and it goes on for about 9.5 minutes or something. And you think it's never going to finish. Well done, well done, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, well done. And he just carries on like that for about 4 minutes at one point. And, you know, I look back at that and I think, but one man this week has stood before God and heard those words. A man who, when he was 14 years old, made a prayer, said, God, will you help me to write songs about you? And he went home and his twin sister said to him, well, go on then, write something. And he wrote it and he showed it to her and he said, oh no, I'm going to throw it in the bin. And he crumpled up the paper that it was written on. And she said to him, no, 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 don't do that. This is a good song. This is a good song. And we're still singing today, the blood of Jesus shall never lose its power. And when I say to Libby, Libby, sing the blood. That's that song. That's that song. He was only 14 when he wrote that. And you know, there are so many things that God calls us to do. If only we would do them. Do you know what? I remember once being very annoyed that I had to work until, I think it was about 8:15. And it was meeting night. It was prayer meeting night. And I remember saying to God, oh, it's a bit rubbish this. I can't put up with this much longer. You know, I'm here till 8:15 and prayer meeting's on. They'll be praying now and they're halfway through. And I just really felt God say to me, go. And I said, but Lord, it's 30-minute drive. I'm not going to get there till 8:45. What's the point? I may as well go home and have my tea. I'll only be there 5-10 minutes before they finish. And do you know what? I walked into that church. And as I walked in, they stood up to sing the final song. I was there for the final song. And you know what? Some of the Christians there were laughing. Oh, look at Steve, he's coming for the final hymn. But do you know what? In that final hymn, I heard God speak to me. I had a phenomenal night that night in that prayer meeting. I was only in it for 4 minutes. I was in it for 4 minutes. One hymn. And I had a phenomenal night. Which is why I always say to you, if you have to come late, if it's the all you can do is then come late. I mean, if you have to come now at 1:25, come in. Come in. Because, you see, that's just God just illustrating a point for you. But if you, come on in. Come on in. You see, if all you can do is come for the end, come. Because God will speak to you. For your benefit, Calvin, I've just been explaining to them. Okay. You'll have to listen to the MP3. My last point. No questions. The most impressive thing about this story is they didn't ask Jesus anything. They didn't say, how long have we to follow you for, Jesus? They didn't say, where to? Wouldn't you have least have said that? Come, follow me. Where to? You would have said that, wouldn't you? I would. They didn't. They just dropped their nets. You know, I think In the whole of the Gospels, this is one of the most profound moments that's recorded, when a fisherman drops his net to follow Jesus. He gives up his livelihood. Where do you think they got nets from? A net shop? Come on. They had to make those nets. They had to sew those nets. It took them hours upon hours to mend, to prepare a net, and then to mend them and to keep them healthy. It was an amazing thing to drop that which you had so much time invested in. I think it's an amazing thing that they did it without asking questions. You know, there's a blind man outside Jericho called Bartimaeus. He's so special, we don't actually have a name for him other than he was the son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus. No one remembers what he was called. He's just called, it's the son of Timaeus. But we do know about him that his garment that he wore was a beggar's cloak. They had those things in those days, just as Jesus wore a rabbi's cloak. He wore a beggar's cloak. It was an indication to all who looked on that this man earned his living by your almsgiving. If you threw some pennies at him, that was what he lived on. And that coat identified him. It was like someone having a badge saying they've got council approval to busk in the street. It was like that. He's a blind man. He can't see Jesus, but he's heard commotion in the street. He hears this commotion coming, and he's saying to people, "What's going on? What's going on? I can't see. Can't you tell? I'm a blind man. What's going on?" And they say to him, "It's Jesus of Nazareth, the prophet. He's coming. The Messiah." So what does he do? It says he cried out, "Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me." And it says he wouldn't shut up. He kept on with it. Finally, a voice is heard by this blind beggar. Amongst the cacophony of noise, amongst the racket of the street, a voice speaks which makes everyone go quiet. And Bartimaeus hears this voice. And the voice says, "Call him. Get me this man who's been shouting me. Call him. Tell him I want him." So he gets up. What does Bartimaeus do? He leaves his cloak. He throws it off. That's his livelihood. Don't you see? It's just like Peter leaving his nets. He throws off his beggar's cloak. There was probably a lame man next door to him who was grabbing that cloak. You know, it was like gold. "Wow, I'm having that. This is the best spot to beg. I've got the cloak now. I'm going to get the money." But you see, Bartimaeus says, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Heal my eye." In a second, a blind man becomes a seeing man. I don't believe it would have happened if he'd have carried on with his coat. But that man that day knew in his heart it was all going to change. "Go on your way," Jesus told him. "Your faith has healed you." We should rejoice in the work we have. Do you know something? I was never released from full-time secular work until I realized that I was actually in full-time ministry all the time. Until I realized that and came to terms with that, I had to carry on working. And until we realise that when God says drop it, we need to. We will be burdened by the thing we hold on to. You might say, well, I can't do anything, Stephen. I can't get involved. I can't do. I've got this to do. Let me tell you this. If you hold on to your nets, they will become so heavy, you will struggle to carry them. If you hold on to your cloak, it will weigh you down and you will struggle to stand. But if you cast your cloak away, if you drop your nets, you will be free to walk with God. What does that mean to you right now? I cannot say. But I think you know. It might be something very simple. It might be something very complex. I remember when I was 14 years old, first hearing the call of God on my life, when a man was telling me about his missionary trips to the Congo and how he'd preached in this particular village and this woman had turned and followed Jesus, and an amazing miracle took place. She had had a terrible accident, and I think it was her leg, and she grew a new leg when she followed Jesus. And you say, well, that's incredible. That's impossible. I can't believe that. It's happened when she chose to follow Jesus. Whatever you give up today to follow Jesus, I can promise you, you will know the touch of God in your life. If you choose to let go of your nets to prove a point that God won't help you, according to your faith, it will be to you, and God won't help you. But if you choose to drop your nets today because you want to follow Jesus, he will not disappoint you. Will you bow your heads with me? Today, I want to give an appeal to you. Peter dropped his nets. Bartimaeus dropped his cloak. I don't know what God's calling you to drop, but are you prepared to drop it? Maybe it's a long-running issue in your life. Maybe it's something that's happened only this week. Maybe it's your feelings for a person or a thing. Maybe it's your ambition or your desire. Whatever it is, Jesus is asking you to come and follow him. Will you? I'm going to pray a prayer. And as usual, if you want this prayer to be for you, I want you to just repeat it in your heart, silently. But this prayer today will not make everything better. But if you do go away from here and drop your nets, that will make everything better. Father God, I hear your calling. And Lord, this day I choose to drop my nets. I choose to drop my cloak. I choose to drop everything that hinders me and follow you. Even as you speak to me today, I choose to listen. I choose to follow Jesus. While every head is bowed, I feel today I should call you to make this a very certain choice. And I'm going to ask you to stand where you are if you've prayed that prayer. If you are prepared to drop your nets and follow Jesus, I'm stood. I invite you to stand with me. For those of us who are standing today, Lord, we say this. Speak. Your servant is listening. We commit our way to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. Let's go today knowing that our God is a good God, and His calling is not grievous, not difficult. God bless you. Amen.